Hi and welcome to Dunking Biscuits, providing etiquette for modern times. My name is Emma and, weirdly enough, here's Grace.
What? Hello! like you're expecting someone else.
Well, I feel like I said the same thing. I mean, our intro is the same, but I don't know how to introduce us differently, so I thought I'd mix it up so slightly. can you please tell us our good news story?
No worries. This one is a bit of an old one. It's actually from May.
So old.
I know. But this week we are going to Birmingham in Alabama.
Sure.
I feel like they say Birmingham. But anyway, that's where we're going.
That's like the English version, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Opposed to the American slang version.
Anyway, this is where Vivian Cunningham, who is a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and now a college graduate. So the 78-year-old graduated from Samford University in Alabama on May 8th earlier this year. So she was a single mum of two children in the 1960s, where she worked as a custodian and then in the mailroom at the Alabama Power Company. And the company offered to reimburse her for her college tuition. It doesn't say why, but it just says that they did.
Yep.
And over the years, she's pursued her education bit by bit while raising her two children by herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then after she retired in 1992, so almost 30 years ago, she started to attend Samford University and complete her bachelor's studies in liberal studies.
Right.
So her two kids, Donald, who's 59, Tara, who's 54, were there to watch her graduate. And she said she might even go for a master's degree next.
That is so adorable.
I know. Just awesome.
I think it's just
not a barrier.
No, it just says that you can learn at any age.
Yeah.
And just because you didn't do uni straight out of high school does not mean that uni's not for you.
That door is closed.
Mm. It appears to be always open. So,
yeah.
You know.
So I remember when I was at uni, there was a few mature age students because I studied history as well as studying maths.
Yeah.
And we were looking at the Vietnam War, and there was a guy in my class who fought in the Vietnam War. And
I
was like,
gosh.
Well, this isn't fair. He's going to nail the essay.
He has personal experience.
But it's so cool that, like, unis are, like, it's not just if you're not there by the time you're, like, 20, then it's
best close.
Like, there are so many entry points in, yeah.
And also, even that way, you don't, like, university is not the only way to learn as well.
Yeah,
there's so many online courses or tertiary courses, like vet courses, etc. I'm not sure whether there is a universal equivalent of, like, is TAFE or, like, I don't know what the right word is. If there's a universal, besides university, there's other avenues for adult education.
Like, there would be because, like...
I think it's the word tertiary.
Tertiary studies or something, maybe. Yeah. But, yeah, that's cool for Vivian. I really like that story. I just thought it was nice and uplifting.
Perfect.
Yeah. Alrighty, Em, so what's your weekly win this week? What's been happening?
We actually had our weekly win today, and I say our because somehow I've started to become that person that says our and we to everything instead of being independent.
Oh, we get it. You're married.
We're a united front. Anyway, so I say we because we got a new fridge today.
Oh, huge.
And for those who aren't in my inner circle and haven't heard my whinge about my fridge forever, basically this fridge is, I think, around 20 years old.
Oh.
And basically in the last month it has sung to us in like a low, grumbly sound. And it's quite a beast of a fridge. So I'm sure people have these types of fridges within their family, as in there's a fridge that has been around for decades and it just will never die.
Yeah.
So this one obviously was dying, but wouldn't die. And so where our kitchen is in relation to like our lounge room or where we spend most of our time, it's not far enough that you can't...
You can hear it.
Like avoid the sound. Mm. And so it just got to a point where we didn't hear it anymore. But when people came to our house, they're like, is that your fridge? And so anyway, we came back from our non-honeymoon. And we just came back. We're like, we're doing it. So we went and looked at fridges yesterday. Wait, what day is it? Saturday. And then we bought it yesterday and it arrived today. And the people came and they took our fridge away for $10. I was like, that's a win for us. They delivered. We just put our stuff into an esky. We didn't even put ice in it because it was like literally half an hour from when they were in and out.
Yeah.
And I've restocked our fridge, and we've done bottom freezer, top fridge this time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's a small space, so we only had like three options of fridges. And even when we move to another place, we will get a bigger fridge just because our circumstances, we have to have this size fridge. Yeah. And it's so clean and crisp.
Oh, it would be. Everything would be so fresh and new. Your food is going
to
taste better.
It might entice me to actually clean it properly every time we use it. Rather than just let it go to a certain stage and be like, is that a smell? Like, is that the fridge? So our win is completing full adult life and purchasing appliances. I think It's actually our first, as a couple, our first appliance together. Oh, no, aww. Sorry. Apologies. We had to get a dishwasher because the other one broke. So, sorry, second appliance, second. Not as exciting. But that's our win because it's just very exciting to get new stuff. And especially if you've had something that's been – That fridge had been all over the world. It had lived in, I think it had lived in Dallas, Texas. It had lived in Singapore. It had lived in Hong Kong.
Oh,
and
it had
lived in, with Jeff for uni, in rural Victoria, and obviously in Melbourne. So it has done its time.
It is more well traveled than me almost.
Yeah. So thank you, fridge. We won't miss you, but we love you.
It's the hum. Oh, that is exciting. I do love a new appliance. I'm like waiting for my tax money to come in, which means I also need to do my tax.
True.
And I'm gonna buy a new TV because
the
power button on my remote doesn't work, and neither does the volume up button.
So you have to physically move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Yeah, it's so, and like it's an old TV. It was secondhand when I got it in 2013, and I want a smart TV. I just want one.
Yeah.
So.
I recommend them. They're really good.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Other than appliance chat, what's your win?
Mine is an odd one. So last night I went and saw one of my friends in a dance concert.
Yes. I saw the videos.
It was so much fun. It was basically like there was four different groups and they all did two dances each. And they were like... very like some of them you could tell they'd danced for a while, and some of them it was definitely like their first time. There was a few guys in the groups, and it was just like groups of people just having fun. Like they've obviously worked hard to learn these routines, and then they just got to show it, and it was really fun. And the event was like hosted by a drag queen who was so entertaining.
Yep.
Like just knew how to like connect with the audience and all that stuff. And yeah, it was just a really good time.
Can you explain to the listeners what the where the location was that this dance happened? Because when Grace told me, I was like, huh?
Yeah. So it was at Chase's nightclub, which I have walked past like 1,000 or more times, but I never knew it was called Chase's nightclub because it's like the main thing it's known for is Poof Doof on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So obviously I don't really frequent there. It's I'm not their usual clientele.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said to people, I was like, oh, it's at Chase's, and they the same thing, they're all just like, I don't know what that is, like where is that? And I was like, oh, it's here. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. But no, it was just really fun. The drinks were so expensive at this bar though.
Oh really?
Because like I feel like if I go to a bar, my usual drink would be like a gin and soda.
Yeah.
And like that's usually around $10. Like if it's anything more, I'm kind of just like, oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
These ones are $12.50.
Yikes.
And I'm just like, that's too much. Like,
what am I paying for here? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like you're using top-notch gin. I can see the bottle. It's very cheap.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was kind of the one downside. And I hate, like, how expensive bars can be with their drinks.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
No. But, yes, but other than that, it was really fun. My friend was really, like, she was so nervous before the show. And then, like, she got on there and she was just, like, a star. So it was good. Lots of fun.
Also, your friend is a mum. And probably not when people think of a dance, they might think of someone who is like in high school or etc. doing this. And
no, this is the opposite. This friend, she's 20 years older than me, and like the people in her group were mostly the same age as her as well. Like it was really like lots of kids in the audience. Yeah, it was so much fun.
I think it's so good. And we actually saw each other in real life yesterday, Grace and I. And so I was just like, I personally could not imagine myself doing a dance routine in front of an audience in 10 years' time. I just don't see it something being in my future. And I was just like, good for her, like amazing. Maybe I will. I don't know, but I just can't see it. I can't visualize just that.
Not yet.
But yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, no, it definitely didn't inspire me to join, but I will go and watch her. She's going to do it again, and I'll go and watch her
You
again.
Were there for support, and you're happy to support. Yeah,
exactly.
Her dream. Exactly. To start today's query or question or trying to help us out with the etiquette for our mini-series of getting a job, so we're talking about the etiquette of a job application. And I thought I'd ask the question, should you apply for every job possible regardless of your qualification? So if you're desperate for a job, and we're in a time that people, especially in Australia, there is a few people who have been let go or, you know, stood down because of the economic climate of yes. our country. So like my brother-in-law has been applying for many jobs because he couldn't get a job in his field anymore. So my question is, if you don't have a job and you need a job, should you just apply for everything?
I think if you can see yourself being happy in that job and feeling like it's a challenge, yes. I think if you're applying for it and like the thought of working there doesn't like immediately excite you and you don't want to be like, oh, I'll look into that one more, I don't think you should apply for it, because I think you're setting yourself up for failure. Obviously at the moment that can be quite tricky. As we said, there are a lot of people who are without a job, especially in like the travel and hospo yes. sectors. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm coming from a point where I am lucky that I do have my job, so I feel like I can say these kind of things.
Yeah.
But I think there has to be some level of excitement when you read the like job ad.
Oh, some interest. Like, oh, yeah. I could see myself doing that, or I could learn a new skill doing that, etc.
Yeah, but I think as well, like, you know, given everything, like people might have to be like applying for jobs that are kind of they're more than qualified to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as well, like I think it's okay to apply for like an interim job while you are looking for the kind of one.
Yeah.
As long as you like don't get too like down in the dumps about like potentially not being able to work in your field at the moment.
Yeah. I agree. I think the joy factor has to be part of your thought process. And yeah. I think that's a very, I don't know if we're actually considered the same generation that I don't think, but I was like very are you?
No,
are
we're
you?
Both millennials.
Okay.
I'm like a bottom, like I'm like the cutoff.
Oh, okay.
And then a person I work with who's older than you, he's yeah. still considered a millennial.
Oh, well.
So he's like the top end and I'm like the bottom end.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if we're the same. Anyway, yeah. It's probably seen a bit more our generation to be a bit more choosy about their jobs.
Yeah.
Whereas I know that like with my parents or with like maybe one generation above, it was more about like you need a job, you get one, and yep. you work it until you do better at it or you find another job, but you must have a job. And I think people are more, I guess, at ease about not having a job if they don't need one.
Yeah.
And I say need one as in if they have funds or if they're able to be with family or with friends and somehow able to survive on their savings or et cetera, they won't apply for everything. So, and yep. that's a general statement. I'm not saying that's everybody, and that's just my view. But I think when applying for a job, or if you have no job and applying for a job, sometimes beggars can't be choosers. You do need to get a job. It may be what you called, interim job.
Yeah.
And then once you're in that job, obviously not while you're doing your job, but maybe after hours looking for other jobs,
yeah.
And finding your dream job or a job that you are better suited for or within your field a bit later on.
So. Yeah, because like I know someone who they finished uni, they got a degree, and then they were very like narrow-sighted, short-sighted or something, whereas yeah. they would only work in specific jobs. And their field is quite small. And so this person was unemployed for 2 years out of uni.
Wow.
Because they just, like, even, like, working, like, they thought like getting like a hospo job or something like that was beneath them mm-hmm. because they've got this uni degree. But it's also like that's 2 years that you could have been earning your own money.
Yeah.
And like they were very reliant on their parents. And I just like it just frustrated me because it like to me it seemed like this person wasn't being proactive.
Yeah.
And like it was just like mind boggling. Like the degree that they did was quite open ended.
Yeah.
Whereas like what we studied teaching.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious what we're aiming to be, what kind of jobs we're going to apply for.
Pretty niche.
Yeah. Like, oh, I think I'll become a journalist after this. Ah, probably not. But yeah, so I think, like, I definitely have known people who think that they've got a degree in this role that is the only job that they can do.
Yeah.
So we're, and like, yeah, kind of like the, I don't know, like working class jobs or something like that.
Yeah.
But just like, they think that that's beneath them, which it's not. Like, earning money is earning money, and you're still contributing.
Yeah, I totally agree. So my next point, or my next, not so much question, but next statement would be, how do you look for a job, or what avenues have you used to find a job? Obviously, it's very particular because we are teachers. It's like Department of Education. Like that's it has its own search engine. That one government
website.
So it's very easy to do that particular one. But anyway, for the larger population, not just us, how do you find a job, or how do you know to look for jobs?
I once applied for a job through the newspaper, which I feel like that's a dead thing now.
I don't even know what a newspaper is. Like, we don't get those.
Yeah, I buy them when I'm moving house so I can wrap up my crockery and stuff, and that's it. But yeah, like when I was applying for teaching jobs, there was one, it was for a private school in Ballarat, and they advertised in their newspaper, and I was like, I'll give it a go. I didn't get the job, obviously. Don't think I really wanted the job anyway because I didn't want to live in Ballarat.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you could do through the newspaper. I don't have a LinkedIn profile because teachers don't really need one, I don't think.
No.
Like, it's not recommended. We're not corporate.
Yeah.
But apparently that's, like, a big one.
I've heard the same. So my understanding is, and again, this is probably a weird thing for us to talk about because we don't know experience. But from my knowledge of friends and family who've used it, it is the equivalent of an online resume.
So yeah, like it has all your experience.
All your details, experience, people can find you. They can contact you, headhunters can look for you there, and that way it's a bit more open. And so it may not be so much you looking for a job as people looking for you, like a type of employee. So LinkedIn is probably a good service to have if you want to take a break from looking, because much like we talked about last week, you can have a bit of burnout for applying for jobs because it is
rejection after rejection.
And sometimes you get rejected for no reason so much, like, per se, because you don't actually get told why you weren't selected. And so maybe if you're taking a break and or you want something to be doing work for you without you doing too much effort, set up that up and say that you're looking for a job and these are your skills, like your skill set and experience and qualifications, and hopefully someone who's looking for your type of person or your type of skill set will find you. So I think that's definitely a good step forward without doing particular jobs.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, I caught up with a friend on Saturday. We had quite a few drinks, so the details are hazy.
Sure.
But she's currently looking for a new job, and she was talking about, like, you can share your LinkedIn profile with prospective employees as well. So it's like you don't have to write up a full resume, but you can be like, hey, here I am, here's all my things, this is what I've done, and so on. So I think it's like a really kind of like, because people can gauge if they want to interview you or if they want to know more, if they want like a full-on resume or something by looking at your profile, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of like a good stepping point. But yeah, I think like job applications, Seek, Job Finder.
Yeah. There's lots of search engines, I guess is the best way of wording them. My main concern with a search engine is how easy it is for every single person to find that job. And so you're probably in a situation where you have many, many, many people applying for the same job. So I think I mentioned last week or the week before that I have been on a panel for job applications and reading resumes, etc. And the most I've had to read, and this is for teaching jobs, so it's not something that as broad as like sales department or something.
Yeah.
And like I've read over 100 applications, and it's like it's very hard because obviously there's certain things to look for, and so that's just for one job. So you can imagine if you have something that's a bit more broader, I'm assuming there's many people applying for those jobs. So search engines are obviously very good because the company that's looking for people, that's an easy way for them to, like, you know, cast a wide net, I guess is a nice way of putting it. But it's very hard for you to stand out. So when you're doing your job application and they've asked for a cover letter, I think it's something that you really need to think about how you're going to stand out from every other cover letter that they're reading. Yeah. So we didn't talk about cover letters last week, or we just sort of touched onto them. It's just basically a page about your experience, sort of highlighting your skill set. So
I think it's also more personal
than
like a resume. Like, I think it's something is like, this is like resume is very dry. It's like, I've done this, this, and this. I can do this. I'm willing to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I think a cover letter is more like giving like personality to those skills.
Yeah.
And like trying to make yourself like really like jump out and be like, woo, give me a job.
Yeah.
Hire me, please.
I'm your person. So I think making sure that your cover letter is very well done, still to your character without being too professional, I guess is a nice way of putting it, and making sure that you put in things that you want to be challenged by, because the amount of times I've read cover letters like, I'm this good, this is why I'm so good, I'm this good. I'm like, I can read that from your resume. Like, if you tell me this is something that you'd like to try and achieve because you haven't had the possibility to do that in your previous jobs, I'm going to be much more interested, because it shows you that you want to have growth, or you're looking for growth within your skill set. So, yes, not only can you do all those things, but actually this is what you'd want to do if you'd have this particular job. And some people see it as more, or can see it as more as a, you know, they can't achieve, they can't do that. But some people haven't been able to do certain things because they haven't had the opportunity.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I've been teaching for over 10 years and I've never taught a Year 12 class.
Yeah.
And so
just
it's
wild.
Which is crazy, but it's because I've never had the opportunity. So, and not because, and I hope so, not because of my ability. It's more because it's just not something that has been an option in any of my teaching jobs.
Yeah.
And I don't feel negative about it, but it's very odd, because most teachers have taught Year 12 at some stage. Yeah. And so I would put that in my cover letter, saying that these are all things that I have done, but at my next opportunity, my next way to show growth would be to do this particular
aspect.
This
is something I would like to do. Like, so, this is why I'm applying for this job, so I can like hopefully see some growth in this area. Yeah.
So I think showing how you'd like to grow in a cover letter is really important. Yeah. I wouldn't say at the very start, like, sugarcoat yourself at the start, but at the end, that's
make them want to keep reading.
Yeah. But I think something showing that you want to have growth within their workplace is really, really important.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Okay, so I think the next thing I wanted to touch on with applications is time.
Yep.
Because, like, obviously when you go on, like, sites like Seek and all that, you can see how long ago a job was posted.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, like, oh, it was posted today, 3 hours ago, 5 days ago. Would you put a time limit on how long a job ad has been up before you apply for it?
I would. It's kind of hard because, again, I'm very limited in my experience of job applications. But I would say with teaching, you print them in time order. So if you want to be the first 10 that they read, you should be the first 10 that applied. Yeah. So I'm not saying that, you know, that's an advantage, but I just think you're more memorable if you're one of the top ones. If that makes sense. So I wouldn't say, I don't know what the right way of putting it is. I wouldn't say first in, best dressed, but I think, you know, first, I would say maybe after the first 24 hours. So it shows that you've had time to think through the process, think how you'd apply for this job, and then apply for it. Because I think if you apply first couple of hours, it shows that you are literally on that website searching for a job.
Like you're rushing.
Yeah.
That application.
So whereas if you've had 24 hours and it's been up and then you apply, it shows that you could have had 24 hours of prep to then make sure that your application is the best that you can make it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And I think as well, like, you know, so there are times where you might be like, oh, I'll have a look-see for a job, and you see that there is a job that you're really excited about. And, you know, the job, like, please apply before the 25th of August and it's the 24th of August.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you do have a window and you might need to, like, kind of rush that application a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're really, wanting to get into a certain field, like, I know when I was looking for jobs, I had notifications set up on – and you can do this for other websites, I'm pretty sure. So, say, like, every time a mathematics teacher job got posted on the government website, mm-hmm. I would get an email.
Yep.
Or, like, if something came up on, like, Seek, they would be like, oh, this job came up that we think you might be interested in. So I think as well, like, if you are, like, very much wanting to get into a certain field, you can put those notifications on so that you can see when a job gets posted. So you're not just kind of, like, checking every few days and kind of going in blind.
Yeah.
And that way, yeah, as soon as you see it, you can, like, then start thinking, like, oh, okay, do I want to apply for that? How am I going to apply for that? Write your cover letter and things like that as well.
I think... let it be at least a day, just so so if the employer is looking at it as like, well, they applied fast. Not that like people look at it particularly, but it might be something they note.
And you don't want to be like, you don't want to rush it. So obviously there are times where you might need to, but don't leave it too late. Like, don't see that job on the Monday and be like, oh, I'll do that on the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big window. Like, try and get it done sooner rather than later, but not the soonest, but not the latest.
It's a weird window.
The perfect medium. Okay.
I think there's no particular time, but I think you should take the time to do the application and make sure it's in before it's due. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Okay. My next dot point that I put here is when you do job application, who do you put as your referees?
Ooh, your best friends.
Yeah. And they label them as all different people or different departments.
Exactly. I would say, so at least two. Some places will ask for more. I would say a colleague that you have a good relationship with, I would say, like, somewhat on a personal level, and then they also know you in a professional capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say a superior.
Yeah.
Whether that's your boss, a supervisor, someone who, like, for me, maybe, like, the head of maths or something like that.
Yeah.
So someone who has worked with you closely. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe, like, the principal, like, once again, coming from a school thing, might be a bit tricky because, like, you can be quite disconnected from them.
Yeah.
So I think someone who is above you and has worked closely with you.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect answer. I wrote superior because I was like, there's so many different words that you can use for that. I think depending on your current job or the job that you had previously will depend on what that looks like and who you can actually have had a relationship with. So I'm sure if you work for Boost, you're not going to put the CEO of Boost.
No, because they don't know you at all.
Yeah. Whereas the manager of that store, yes, they would know you because they've helped, like, you know, help either train you or have been under their guidance or they have told you what days you're going to be working or you've like worked together. So I think just someone who's above you in some form, and obviously depending on where you work or how your job ladder works will depend on who's the best person. And as long as if they get a phone call and they can name you, like, for example, if I rang your superior and I said Grace, they don't have to go Grace Roberts. They're like, oh, yes, of course, Grace.
Yeah.
Even though the person will probably say last names, it's not. Name. Yeah, it's a full name. It's not. I would rather that the person that has getting that phone call won't need to use full names.
Yeah, exactly. They shouldn't like strain to kind of talk about you. It should just be like easy. Like, oh yeah, she is amazing. She does this. She's so good, and she's really funny.
Yeah,
like they should be able to
hire her.
I'm sure that's what they would say. Because I remember when I was applying for jobs out of uni, you know, as a student teacher, like yes, there are some connections you like leave, and especially my fourth year placement teacher, both of them were like, yep, put me down on a resume, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had a uni lecturer because she offered, like, it was fourth year, like, our classes were quite small by then.
Yeah.
And she was like, she was also like 7 months pregnant. Like she was getting towards the, she was like, she had baby brain.
Yeah.
But, and she like said to the class, she's like, oh, you know, that's fine. Just send me an email if you would like me to be on your resume. And I just put her down there. Like she was my third one.
Yeah.
Like just as like a backup.
Yeah.
But I'm also just like, she would not know me from a bar of soap. She would look me up on the like on the system and be like, oh, yep, she got this mark, this mark. She never submitted her work in late. Once again, she was also probably pretty funny. And yeah, like that's it. Like I think as well, like obviously very kind of her to offer to all of us, but still like that's a lot of people that you're potentially going to get phone calls for.
Yeah, I think if you're the person who's offering to be a referee, you need to know that person very well.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately have been put down for a person who did their placement at our school in her fourth year, and she had applied for some jobs, and I was very honest because I didn't want them to employ them her in the hope that she was going to be this particular type of person. And I was very matter of fact. I said, look, she's going to be a great teacher. She's going to need a strong mentor because she was this tiny little thing, which shouldn't matter, but tiny little thing, and she had a very quiet voice and she wanted to be a PE teacher, and you tend to need quite a strong presence.
You need an outside voice.
Yeah, and she was still working on that. She had improved significantly, but it just wasn't quite there yet. So I said that I would happily have her at our school, but I would give her a strong mentor because she would need that. And so it wasn't a negative. It was just more about these are her strengths and weaknesses. And if your school can provide that for her, then her, that school's also going to be a good fit for her as well. So
yeah, exactly.
And I think as a referee, you need to be honest, but also not critical, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I have been a referee for, I've had two student teachers and I've been references for both of them. And then I've also been references for like my high school students who like want to get a part-time job.
Yeah.
For the high school students, I will completely lie.
Yeah.
This kid is great.
Yeah.
Amazing. Never late to home group. Hands in all their work. So good. Really, really delightful in the classroom.
Yeah.
But with my student teachers, it's the same. Like I've been like definitely like a lot more honest because like obviously getting a part-time job at Woolies.
Yeah.
And then applying for a teaching job. Bit of a different scale that we're working with.
Yeah.
But I had a student teacher last year and I actually failed him because many reasons. But then he asked me to be a reference. And I was like, bold move. Okay. So I like I did his reference as well. And like one of the person who was calling to get a reference, I actually knew. And I was just like, look, I'm going to be pretty honest. Like I did fail him as a student teacher. And they're like, oh, can you like explain why? And I spoke about why and then like spoke about like obviously talked about his good things.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I was just like, oh, like I got off the phone. I was like, oh, this guy's not getting that job. Sorry. But yeah. But, it's, but I think as well, like you have to give people
who are deserving of jobs, jobs though. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like I think as well, like asking for references, ask someone who you have a good relationship with.
Yeah.
Like obviously like you do need to get someone who is superior. And you might not have the best relationship with them, but like, yeah, like you have to get someone who's gonna say good things about you.
I mean, it's so hard for us because everybody says such good things. There's just so many choices. Like,
I couldn't imagine someone saying something bad about me. But I know they're out there probably.
So we've talked about cover letters. We've talked about references. We talked about finding jobs very briefly, finding jobs, etc. I don't know if you have other points that you want to talk about. My last point is fairly simple. And we are going to talk about this a bit later, like next week. Next week, we're talking about interviews process.
Yeah.
So I want to ask a very quick question about once you've applied for that job, how long after the due date of the application would you say is a good time to wait to hear if you have
I was going to ask about this as well, like with the follow-up. I think I'll definitely touch more about it next week after the interview. But I think so this is – so we're living in a pre-interview world yet. You've just applied for the job and you haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
I think maybe a week.
Okay.
Because there might be a lot of applications.
Mm-hmm.
The HR department might be small. There might be multiple jobs up for this company. I would say a week. If you have not heard anything in a week, give them a call. Yep. Or if you don't have a contact number, just email the person you sent the application to.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, if you don't, I think if you don't hear back from that one, I think you've been ghosted and you're not getting this job.
Which is terrible. Which
I think is poor form on the company's behalf. But yeah, I think you should know if you have an interview within a week of the expiry date.
Yes. And then, again, I'm very narrow with our knowledge, but with teaching, you, like, after the, it's after closing, basically it's a week, and then you have to send an email to those who weren't successful for an interview. And then after that, people who have an interview, you actually have to call them to say that you didn't get the job.
I never got told if I wasn't getting an interview, I don't think.
Oh, really?
Like, definitely some schools did not tell me I was getting an interview.
Yeah.
And then, like, with the department website, you get an email to say who the successful applicant was.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care who this person is.
Cool, now I'm going to look them up and hate them forever. Yeah. But, yeah, like, I definitely heard back after, like, I had interviews and didn't get the job. But yeah. I can't, it probably happened, I don't know, it was a while ago, I applied for a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I definitely don't think all of them contacted me. And I just got that generic email saying, this person got the job, we like them better than you.
They're the chosen one. Well, I think it just depends on what job, I guess. Maybe it's depending on the level of the job, industry. Et yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if you haven't heard anything in 2 weeks, I would make contact definitely.
Yeah.
Just in case it's a large corporation and it's a lot of reading and stuff I have to go through. And I guess don't think just because you didn't get this job that you're not qualified for that job. Or there's someone more qualified, they might be looking for a particular type of person. Even though you have the exact same qualifications, they might be looking for someone who is more suited to their particular group that's already there.
And they might have somebody lined up for that job already. Like, I know when I went from my contractor being ongoing at our school, because it's a government school, they had to post the job ad up.
Yeah.
But I didn't even interview for that. Yeah. I had to send my application through. But I didn't have to interview.
No.
Like, it was just, like, it was mine from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It's so, so awful.
That people would have applied for that job.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, gonna put in an application. Yeah. Whereas I'm just like, oh, God, I have to rewrite my key selection criteria.
Again.
Can you just give me the job? Jesus. Yeah, so, like, and that can happen, I'm sure, across many industries where they put up a job ad, they know who's getting the job regardless of who applies.
This is a legal thing they have to apply, put up there. And yeah, so I guess I just wanted to close on that because I know that we're going to be talking about interviews and stuff next week. Yeah. But I just thought with job applications, there's also there's a waiting period that can be, I wouldn't say daunting, but more like it can be disheartening because you may never, ever find out. And so you're just like, I guess someone got employed. Like,
yeah, like 3 months later, be like, damn, I wonder if I got that job.
Yeah.
They probably would have called me by now.
Probably would have mentioned it at some sort of email or something. But yeah. So I think we'll go into more detail next week with our interview stuff. But I think we've covered everything that you need to think about with a job location. It's not too in-depth, and I'm okay with that type of, discussion based, but I think we just need to talk about it in relation to our mini series this week.
Yeah, exactly. Alrighty, so now we've just got some little summary points just to kind of go over what we've spoken about. So, number one, when applying for a job, does it spark joy or is it just for the interim? Like, can you see yourself like working in this job? Number two, your cover letter must shine. That is the first kind of thing that people are going to use to get to know you. Number three, when applying for jobs, take this as you will. Not too soon, but not too late. Like, you just got to find that job application hotspot.
Yeah.
Number four, choose your references wisely. And remember, they must be able to talk about you in a professional sense, but also know you. Mm-hmm. And then number five, follow up. I would say, at least 1 week after the expiry date. So when the job application closed, not when you applied for it.
Yeah.
If the job application's still open, don't be like, hey, where's my interview? they'll be like, oh, you're not getting one. See ya.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it for job applications. You're hired, part two.
Woo! Well, thank you for listening. As always, please follow us on Dunking Biscuits Podcast. Let us know what you think about our episode, and stay tuned for part three.
Yeah. Have a great week. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.